Thank you for joining me. We're going to continue our study for the name, with the names of God. We've looked at the name that is his eternal name, Yahweh, or I Am, or Jehovah. I Am looked at his majesty, his creative power, his sovereignty. Then we looked at El Elyon, God Most High. Today we're going to look at Jehovah Adonai, A-D-O-N-A-I. Adonai means Lord or Master. God could be El Elyon, God Most High, but not be Adonai, because Adonai speaks of a personal relationship that invests in an owner-slave, master-slave relationship. Just an indicator. When you see capitals, L-O-R-D, most of the time that looks at the I Am, Jehovah, Yahweh. When you see capital L, little O-R-D, most of the time that is Adonai, Lord or Master. A-D-O-N is used several times throughout the Old Testament, applying to several different people. For example, it applies to the master-slave relationship. It also looks at what Sarah said of Abraham. She called him Lord or Master. However, when you add the suffix AI, A-D-O-N-A-I, it intensifies it. Now it's not just Lord, but Lord of Lords and Master of Masters. So let's explore the name Adonai today. Now let's begin right there with that master-slave relationship. You know, for us today, that is repugnant. It really just turns us off. But that wasn't the way the Hebrews looked at it. It was better to be a slave in the master's house than to be a day laborer. If you were a day laborer, you received your day's wages, and you were out. You were out on the street. You're on your own. You may have a meal. You may not have a meal. But the house of the master had responsibilities to provide for the slave, to protect the slave, to love the slave, and to feed the slave. And so for the Hebrew, it was better to be a slave than a day laborer. Also, the slave could enter the temple or the synagogue and could eat the Passover meal as well with them. If you'd like to turn to Psalm chapter 123, we see this taking place. Psalm chapter 123 and verse 2. Behold, as the eyes look to the hand of the master, and the eyes, behold, as the eyes of servants look to the hand of their masters, and the eyes of a maid to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God until he has mercy on us. Have mercy on us, O Lord, have mercy on us, for we are exceedingly filled with contempt. Now, did you see that indicator I mentioned a while ago? Here you have Yahweh Adonai. Yahweh Adonai is the master. Who is the ideal master? Who is the one that ideally provides and protects and loves? Well, obviously, we know that is God. Do you remember how Jesus described the people in Matthew 9? As sheep without a shepherd, gone astray. Well, if Jehovah is our Adonai, then he drives, he protects, he guides, he provides for us. Because he is Lord or Adonai, he is ready to meet all of our needs. In fact, look at what it says. The eyes of the servant look to the hands of the master, the eyes of a maid to the hand of the mistress. So our eyes look to the Lord God until he has mercy on us. What does the slave look to the master to do? To have mercy on him. And what do we look to God for? We look to God for mercy. So if Adonai means anything, it means we can depend upon God's care. But that suggests something else. If he's going to be our Adonai, then that speaks of our loyalty, our submission, and our obedience to him. He can't be Adonai if we say Lord, but then follow it up with no. It speaks of our loyalty, our submission to him. God wants to be our Lord and Master. You know, today, if you ask people, do you want a Savior? Most everyone would say yes. But if you ask them, do you want a Lord and Master? Oh, that's different. That's different. You see, it's more than just a name. It's more than just getting the name right. It's not just saying, Lord, Lord. It's when we say, Lord, Lord, what must I do? We answer properly. When the master speaks, we don't say no if he is Adonai. Do you remember when Saul of Tarsus was on the road to Damascus and the Lord strikes him blind? Do you remember what he said? Who are you, Lord? What must I do? You see, we can't just have him as Lord in one little small corner of our life, but not of our morals and our values or other parts of our lives. If he's going to be Adonai, he's going to be Adonai of our whole lives. It's not partial loyalty. It's not partial submission. It is complete submission, complete loyalty to our Lord and Master. Now, here's the other side of that. Whether we submit to him or not, whether we're loyal to him or not, whether we obey him or not, he's still going to be Adonai. We can cry against it all we want. We can rebel all we want, but he's still going to be Adonai. But if we're going to call him Lord, then we must say, yes, Lord. The second thing I think is important to look at is when I call him Lord and Master, all of the loyalties are subordinate. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15. You'll recognize this account of Genesis having to deal with Abraham and the selection of the heir. You remember God's made a promise to Abraham and Sarah that they would have an heir, and the heir would be the one through whom all nations would be blessed. Of course, Abraham and Sarah realized they are far past the childbearing years, and they don't know exactly how this is going to happen. But notice what is said beginning in verse 2. And Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus? Then Abram said, look, you give me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. Then he brought him outside and said, look now toward the heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. You see, the struggle with our faith is when the promise is delayed. Abraham doesn't understand this, but God says, come outside, I want to show you something. You see those stars in the sky? I hung them there. Can you count them? I know how many are there. I know their number. Now, Abram, if I can put those stars in the sky and I can hang them there and I know their number, don't you think I can fulfill my promise by producing an heir with you? And Abram's response was so great, God said he believed the Lord and it was counted to him for righteousness. I would suggest one of our biggest challenges is to still honor him as Adonai when the promise is delayed. Does the servant ever say to the master, give me mine right now? Or does the servant wait on the master, wait on the Lord? The servant doesn't tell the master what to do. The servant waits till the master is ready. Abraham called Yahweh Adonai, and God counted it to him for righteousness. You know, we all go through barren times in our life. Maybe financially, maybe physically, maybe mentally, maybe spiritually, maybe emotionally. But what God is showing us through Abram is God is able to be Adonai even in the barren times and even when the promises are delayed. Abram had to decide to serve God, to honor him, and for him to be Adonai. But Look at Psalm chapter 38. Psalm chapter 38. Psalm 38 and verse 9. He said, Lord, all my desires before you, and my sighing is not hidden from you. Verse 15. For in you, Lord, I hope, you will hear, O Lord, my God. God was so impressed with Abram that he said, it is accounted to you for righteousness. And the very next day, Sarah got pregnant. No. When Genesis 15 takes place, it's 10 years after the promise. And from the time the promise is made, it's 25 years before it is fulfilled. No, Abram's going to have to wait 15 more years. Will he be Adonai? Will he be Lord Master when the promise is delayed? Look again. If he's Adonai, it means we obey him even when the command is very difficult. In Exodus chapters 3 and 14, God has called Moses to be the one to deliver the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. You have that burning bush incident. And then you have God calling calling Moses. And do you remember Moses' response in chapter 4, verse 10 and going forward? I'm not able to talk very good. I get my words mixed up. I'm a little tongue-tied. Okay, that last part was from the book of Ricky. But it does say, I can't talk with. And God said, look, from Ricky's translation, don't worry about it. I've got your back. I'll give you the words to say. Shouldn't that have been the end of it if he is Adonai? But then Moses said, but please give someone else a talk. And it says the Lord was angry with Moses. Why? Because he's been calling him Adonai, but he's not been honoring him as Adonai. What do we do when it's very difficult? You see, Adonai does not ask us to do anything he's not granted the resources to accomplish. Adonai will not ask us to do something he has not equipped us to do. A good master never asks the servant to do what he cannot possibly do. We're talking about a good master. He gives us the resources. He equips us. He provides. When the master says, I want you to do this, what is the answer? It's yes, Lord. And isn't that the challenge for most of us? Can we really trust God to be better than our judgment? Can we really trust God to provide for us? Can we really trust God to make us happy? Can we really trust God? Does God really know better than I do what's better for me? And you know, the weird thing about that, the funny thing, not ha-ha, but strange thing, confusing thing about that, is the whole time we're arguing about who is Adonai. And what we're saying is, I'm Adonai. Not you, because I know better than you how to take care of myself. And the problem is, God's not in control. You see, someone's going to control us. We're going to listen to the voice of one. Will we, like Abram, listen to the voice of God, God's word to lead and to guide us? Will we realize the greater blessings by total surrender, total control, by giving ourselves to God? You think about that. A consideration of God's name as Adonai, Lord, would make that better, wouldn't it? If we're going to call him Lord, then we're going to obey him. I'm reminded of the story of the little boy who was just riding his bicycle around the block, time and time again, around and around. There was a policeman at the end of the block. He saw the little boy and finally decided to stop him and ask him what he was doing. The little boy said, I'm running away from home. The officer asked him, then why do you keep riding around the block? The little boy said, because my mother said I can't cross the street. Ah, he got it. will we listen to the voice of Adonai? Again, if he's Adonai, then when we hope and the world seems dismayed, he's still Lord. In Isaiah chapter 6, that grand chapter, we're familiar with the first part of it, in which Isaiah falls down and calls him and says, holy, holy, holy. But the problem that Isaiah is facing here in chapter 6 is that Uzziah, the king, has died. Now, Israel had no good kings. The pattern in Judah was they'd be a good king and a bad king, good king and bad king. And now Uzziah, the king of Judah, has died. And Isaiah is wondering, what's going to happen? How are things going to be? And so, in verse 8 it says, and I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? What are we going to answer? Let him do it. Not me, let him do it. You're Adonai, but let him do it. No, Isaiah said, here I am, Lord, send me. That's when he's Adonai. If he's not our Lord today, we need to give up our allegiance to ourselves. Listen, someone's going to be in control. No one gets out of this life without someone over them. Someone is going to be in control. And sometimes, because someone else has betrayed trust or loyalty, we withhold our trust and loyalty to God who has never betrayed our trust and loyalty and maintain that little control of our lives. If the God we worship is not sovereign, then the God we worship is an idol. Why? Because we control the idols. Adonai can't be controlled. You see, we have to realize he is adequate as Yahweh Adonai. You know, that may be one of the hardest names for us to say and back up with our lives. Because to say he owns it all, he possesses us, does not come easy from our lips. Do we wake up each morning and ask the question, Lord, what would you have me to do? Do we talk to the Lord and then refuse to let him be our Lord and Master? You see, we'll never have a better experience. We'll never have a more fulfilled life than when we honor him as Yahweh Adonai. Thank you for joining me. I look forward to seeing you again, and we'll study another one of the great names of God.